Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY14 earnings conference call of NIIT Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, CEO of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for being here on the call. We are here to discuss the financial results for quarter one. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions, so I'll keep my remarks brief and the important things which I wanted to talk about. First, as usual, I start on the environment. I would not spend time on the economy except to say that right now there are macro headwinds, but over this year, we expect to see the economy to recover. Hiring outlook has seen the sharpest decline in our country compared to all countries surveyed by Manpower Employment Outlook Survey. This is the weakest outlook on employment that we have seen. Coming down more specifically to what we do, IT sector, the first redeeming feature is that we are quite enthused by the results announced so far by the large IT companies. But I think the part which is not very strong in that is the absorption of fresh graduates. At least a couple of organizations that we tracked, we find that the employment of fresh graduates is weaker to the level of 50% and more. However, we believe that this will pick up in the next few quarters, and this should contribute positively to consumer sentiment as well. Another interesting phenomenon this year in college admissions has been a waning interest in engineering at any cost. I think students are becoming very selective on the way they're looking at engineering degrees, and large number of small, lower-level, lower-tier engineering colleges are actually going empty. And this is in favor of arts, science, and commerce degrees, and this has benefited us and will benefit us as we go forward, and I will discuss that more. Bank hiring has been on a rise, with strong demand from both public sector banks where retirement age is coming up and the private sector banks because of expansion as well as new licenses being given. Companies are hiring more just-in-time skilled workers, as also visible from our placements record. This quarter, which continues to remain strong. Spending on corporate training as well as looking at managed training services is attracting attention, and in the mature economies such as U.S. and Europe. However, the economic uncertainty does cause longer sales cycles and larger transition periods as companies have to reorganize themselves to handle this phenomenon. Overall, the economy continues to be in a tough condition, but there are certain segments which are looking at growth. Our own response to this challenged economy over the last few years has been twofold. One, to get focused on the level of business that the businesses that we would like to be in, improve the capital efficiency as well as profitability and liquidity of the business. And to do this, we created four platforms of growth that we have been reporting progress on. So the first progress I have to report to you on is the progress on the four platforms of growth, which is for our individual learning solutions. It is the Cloud Campus. In fact, Cloud Campus is a matter of great pride for us because in addition to the fact that it's a new platform of growth for NIIT, it is also a new platform and a new way of learning for the whole education and academic community. We have received a raving response from our potential students, our current students, our employers who have been engaged in this discussion, but that was to be expected. The most interesting feedback we have received is from the academic community itself, who believe that it is indeed the change which the education delivery methodology required. So we are very excited about that. Cumulative 33,000 enrollments since the rollout, and now we have 50 courses which are enabled. Our second platform of growth was managed training services. Again, we have remained very focused on it. As I will report later, 17 global customers now, and revenue visibility has also improved to $144 million. In schools, we now have, with the NGuru solution, 1,629 schools cumulatively, and that contributes, the non-government business contributes 50% to the school learning solutions business mix. On Yuva Jyoti also, we have made substantial progress. We have now crossed 6,800 enrollments, and we have the availability of these courses at 40 locations. So, in terms of growth platforms, given the fact that we decided to adopt cloud technology on technology platform on one hand, created a hybrid model which was specific for different segments, and a superior learning experience is indeed working out well. Cloud campus as a new way of learning, I just thought I'll mention one more time. In April this year, and we discussed this in April and demonstrated it also in our May investor meet, the new cloud campus avatar was unveiled, and we now have very good traction building up on that. Another thing which normally I don't discuss in financial meet, but it was a matter of great pride, that while the organization is undergoing a transformation and through that transformation process, challenging economic times, in that process to get to be voted by your own people as the fourth best company to work for, just behind Google, Intel and American Express, I think is a matter of great pride for us, because we believe that this is a sure sign of our people, who are our most important assets, endorsing the company's transformation strategy as well as the commitment to the company's future. So we thought that would be a wonderful thing which we would like to share with you. Of course, we continue to get recognized as the number one education and training company to work for, which I don't think there was any doubt any other way. Moving on to our financial performance, in corporate learning solutions, we have 4 new global contracts this quarter, including 3 for managed training services, 1 from a healthcare technology major, 1 from an oil and gas, and 1 from an insurance company. Revenue visibility has improved to $144 million. The business had a robust growth, up 16% year-on-year. EBITDA margin at 11%, up 89 basis points year-on-year. Managed training services by itself has grown 19% year-on-year, contributing to 75% of our corporate revenues. 26% still comes from project-based business, of which we also got one new contract large contract in this quarter. School learning solutions, which has been growing well this time, given the changing strategy set, has brought down revenues by 2% year-on-year, which is contributed by the completion of 500 school government contract, which we completed after delivering 5 years of service. So this is in line with the stated strategy of the company, not to add on more government contracts and complete the existing ones satisfactorily. So that would have contributed to a loss in revenue, but we do believe that that will be made up by the growth which the non-government schools will do. Non-government contribution has increased to 50% in this quarter from 46% same period last year. Individual learning solutions has had a mixed bag. I want to remind us that there are two strategies at work. One is moving from IT to non-IT, which is moving from just doing IT training to covering many other sectors such as banking, financial services, management, business process management, etc. And the non-IT products have grown 42% and contribute 24% of the ILS revenues. Those of you who are familiar with it, the mix now is moved 83-17, what it was last year, to 76-24. Of course, this is for one quarter, whereas that number was for the whole of last year. In the IT segment, we have had mixed results. The flagship product of IT, which has been degrowing for many quarters sequentially as well as year-on-year basis, has shown a turnaround, and GNIT enrollment have grown by 9% on a year-on-year basis. However, given the smaller order book that we came with, as well as decrease in engineering enrollment, we do have an overall revenue down by 12% year-on-year basis. In skill building solutions, as I mentioned, Yuvajyoti is now available at 40 locations, and we had 1,934 enrollments in this quarter in that business. Overall financials, we have a minus 1% in net revenue compared to same period last year. Now, minus 1% does appear a degrowth. But I would like to put it in another perspective, but let me first complete that. Our EBITDA is at 104 million, just the same level of margin at 5%. Depreciation is approximately the same level as well. Net other income and taxation have gone through some ups and downs, and I will explain that in a bit of detail. But overall, at a PAT level, we have a minus 94 million PAT compared to a positive 115 last year. I will be explaining this in greater detail slightly later. Just to explain where is the EBITDA, how has the EBITDA moved? In quarter one, we had an EBITDA of 114 million. We have been tracking our cost management initiatives. So essentially what we are saying is that while the economy is going through a tough time, we are going through a transformation process. It was very important that we manage our costs efficiently. We've been able to achieve in cost management a benefit equivalent to what we would have, what we have spent extra because of inflation as well as annual increments of people, as well as adverse product mix. So cost management has helped us overcome those, which has therefore resulted in an EBITDA, which is the operating profit, at the same level. Depreciation is also, as I mentioned, at 203 million compared to 210 million compared to 203 million last year. One part is a lower capital base because of the closure of Maharashtra order. But overall, at the same level. Now, let me explain you a little bit about the net other income and the taxation issue. In the net other income, we have a provision of 34 million rupees, which is to do with the mark-to-market of certain forex assets, which were in our balance sheet, and which is a 34 million adverse impact. And in taxation, we have a 27 million on account of the dividend distribution tax, and this is a dividend tax, dividend that we would have received from our overseas subsidiaries, which in this financial year or in this in this financial year alone can be set off against the dividend distribution tax paid on the dividend which the mother company pays. So since NIIT paid the dividend, this amount could have been otherwise in the dividend distribution tax. So I would consider that an exceptional line item. So if those two line items are taken away, then in many ways the operating loss starts appearing differently. Of course, compared to last year, I would say there is a marginal improvement in our operating results. However, not sufficient to justify that we have come out of the woods, but enough to say that even though the economy turns, continues to remain challenging, at least the transformational initiatives which the organization has taken are beginning to bear results, and once the economy also turns around, then we will get the benefit of both these actions, which should help us immensely in future. Moving on to our business and geography mix, this quarter our corporate has contributed 38% of the total revenue, individual is 43%, schools have remained at 19%. So essential change of mix has happened from individual into corporate. In terms of EBITDA contribution also, while the skill building solutions have started showing some revenue traction, therefore their losses are slightly lower, but essentially the profit has been contributed by the corporate learning solutions. Coming to corporate learning solutions itself, the overall performance I already shared with you, 16% top line and 89 basis point improvement in margin, which is at 11%. Important thing is the revenue visibility and order intake. Order intake this quarter was 16.2 million, which is up 26% year on year. Our pending order book has also improved to 54.6 million, and the revenue visibility, as I already mentioned, is 144 million. A small color that I would like to give here is the fact that while this time we did get a tailwind benefit of the foreign exchange, even at volume growth level, our growth is at 13% on a year-on-year basis. We could not get the full benefit, obviously, of the exchange rate because the exchange rate moved very viciously in the month of June. However, our revenue accounting is done on the basis of the exchange rate on the first day of the month. So our revenue was accounted on the first day of the month, which was a lower exchange rate, and our receivables have been accounted for at the end of the month, which was a higher exchange rate. In normal course of circumstances, these things should not make a difference, but in this particular case, it really makes a difference of 10 full percent as the impact of currency alone. In school learning solutions, as I mentioned, we completed one contract of 500 schools, government contract. This is from the state of Maharashtra. To that extent, our revenue, there was a dip as we had guided before. But there are some closing costs associated with this contract as well. Whenever a contract closes, since the teams have to continue a little bit after, the billing stops, so to that extent there will be a residual cost which has been provided for in this particular result. Our non-government private schools revenue is also up 7%. It now contributes 50% to the mix. We added 125 schools with an order intake of 165 million. It's a bit muted, and that's one of the changes that we are bringing around in the private schools model. Private schools, we do believe, have some kind of a liquidity pressure, as we could experience, because insisting on either coming out of past habits or otherwise, but insisting on hardware to be a part of the order, for which is a no-no for us, and the second is asking for extended credit terms, which again, at this time, we have tightened. So we believe that it's a short-term phenomenon. We will see ramp-up happening. The other interesting thing is that in segments where we are market leaders, like MathLab, as well as ERP, we saw very, very good traction, and we see those products growing very, very well. In individual learning solutions, it is the non-IT revenues which grew by 42%, and this was on the basis of a sharp growth in banking and the other non-IT products, which contribute 24% to the net revenue. Banking enrollments themselves grew by 41%, and non-IT revenue grew by 42%. GNIT enrollment as a part of the IT portfolio were, I think, the star of this. We launched the Cloud Campus, and we realized that Cloud Campus was not just a new platform, but a new way of learning, and therefore lots more needs to be done for customer education. So since all of you watch television, I'm sure you have seen our campaign called I Am Not Studying. That has really created a lot of curiosity value, and our leads on our call center have increased substantially, and that has contributed to a growth in enrollment, which has now, GNIT enrollments have grown at 9%. So GNIT at 9%, banking at 41%, management development 29%, but overall enrollment, which had a large number coming out of short-term courses, as we were seeing that trend building up, the short-term courses, especially those for the engineering segment, have seen a sharp decline, as is also visible from the number of engineers waiting for jobs, as is also visible from people seeking now engineering as engineering at any cost as a way forward. EBITDA was affected because of operating leverage, but the impact should have been much, much more. However, because of benefits of cost savings, as well small benefits coming out of Cloud Campus, we were able to manage a better EBITDA. I need to explain the performance of net revenues, which is minus 12% year-on-year, again in a context. At the first look, it looks like that we are continuing to degrow, which is absolutely right. However, if you plot the degrowth that we have experienced in the last 5 quarters, then in quarter one last year we had minus 9, in quarter two we had minus 17, in third minus 22, in the fourth minus 36. So from minus 36 we are at minus 12, which shows in a certain sense a decline in deceleration. Now, whether this should be read as a signal of recovery or not, I am not sure, but definitely the return of growth in GNIT is a definite indication of the interest that arts, science, commerce students have in pursuing IT careers again. And GNIT has been a flagship product of the company, and we definitely believe that this will help us as we go forward. Of course, Cloud Campus as a learning methodology and a new way is contributing also to this particular phenomenon. At placements level, our commitment to giving first-day, first-hour ready professionals to industry is again visible, given the fact that our placements this quarter were at 8,028. They are down 7% year-on-year, but I can tell you these are down because we did not have enough students to place. NIIT still continues to receive very favorable treatment from employers, given the fact that we are able to provide first-day, first-hour-ready professionals. In skill-building solutions, the progress is not yet a blip on our radar screen. But the fact that it's available on 40 locations, the fact that the revenue is steadily moving up, it's a low ticket value, high volume product, and last quarter we had 1,934 enrollments, which will start having an impact in real sense in another 4 quarters or so in terms of the overall impact in terms of visibility in our financial numbers. If you look at our balance sheet has actually improved a little over the last quarter. First of all, our receivables have actually come down, though in statement they have been revalued at the new exchange rate, but actually they have come down. Our DSOs on due basis are down at 137 days. Government receivables were slow to come by even now, but we have tightened the credit policy wherever else credit was offered, and that is the result that we have seen a little bit in decline in revenues, but more pronounced in our receivables and collection treatment, and pronounced for the better as far as accounts receivables are concerned. Our net debt was at 681 million, which again has been revalued because of the forex, though it should be at 618 if we were not to take the impact of the foreign exchange. We reduced our headcount by 45 resources on a quarter-on-quarter basis and 328 on a year-on-year basis. Overall, our people have remained very committed to NIIT, as is visible also from the Great Places to Work ranking. Going forward, I think in corporate, we are seeing good traction, improved deal conversion rate, and managed training services will remain our focus area. We do need to make sure that as new projects take off, we are able to recover and work at better margins. Right now, improved margins of existing projects to that extent get subdued because of the transition costs which are involved, higher transition costs which are involved in the early parts of new projects. In schools, the essential issue is to ensure that we stay out of capital-intensive and capex-driven business and tighten our credit terms. There is a demand which exists in schools. We just have to make sure that we are on that side of demand, which is not looking for free credit and free hardware, which seems to have become an order of the day in recent past. We will continue to defocus on government schools in terms of our taking on any fresh contracts. We have not taken any fresh contracts now for last 15 months, and we are in the process of closing our existing contracts. We closed Maharashtra contract, Maharashtra contract in quarter one, and we will be completing a very large contract in quarter two, which is Andhra Pradesh 2005 schools. That will again have an impact, negative impact on revenue. However, we believe that in a few quarters after the closing costs are accounted for, these will contribute more to our profitability and even more to our liquidity, because our cash burn on these projects will stop. In individual learning solutions, I was explaining that the early signs are that the more favored sections of IT sector, which we like, are recovering. This is very good news for us. Cloud campus is working out very well. So cloud campus will be the pincer head of our strategy, and we would be making sure that we put all our IT as well as non-IT products on the cloud campus in the shortest possible duration. We do believe that the growth exists in new age IT, as well as non-IT. Non-IT has demonstrated that already new age is too small right now to report, but enough to say that digital marketing and mobile apps courses of ours are picking up momentum as we go along. Overall, very challenging times in the economy, aggressive countering initiatives from NIIT. The transformational initiatives are showing results, and we do believe the situation will keep improving every quarter as we go by in future. So I would like to stop here and now open it up for Q&A. Operator?
Thank you very much, sir. Participants, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We have the first question from the line of Deepen Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Vijay, I had a couple of questions. I missed out on the early part of your comment, so maybe it's a repetition. Can you just throw some more light on the cloud campus, how has it progressed, and when actually do you think it will start having an impact on the profitability of the ILS business, because that is something which we are all looking forward to.
Okay. So I will ask Raghu to support what I am saying. But enough to say that, first of all, the response of Cloud Campus, and I encourage you to please look for our TV ad, or you can go on YouTube and search for Cloud Campus, and you would understand what we mean by the new way of learning that we are looking at. There is an NIIT cloudcampus.com site as well where I encourage you to try out the cloud campus.
Sure.
Having said that, let me give you the response. As I mentioned, the response from students very, very encouraging. In fact, people are very happy with this format. The response from employers who have not yet got the end result of the product, but from what they have understood, they feel that it is a much more rigorous way of learning. And they do believe that these students will be different. Our experience shows they are indeed different. So very good. But a response which we were not expecting is from the academic community, who believe that education has remained static in its delivery methodology for centuries. Mm-hmm. And this is indeed a very, very big breakthrough. We recently had one very important thinker and leader who joined us and was talking to us of how Cloud Campus can actually help solve large amount of social problems. However, we are here to solve the economic problems of NIIT and taking advantage of the activity that we have. We also have a very positive response from some universities with whom we work in the United States. In fact, a small version of this is already being implemented in the U.S., and the full version of this in Vietnam and Bangladesh. So we are excited about it. Now, part two to your answering your question about when will we start seeing the results. In terms of volumes, Raghu will talk to you about volumes and how we intend to see the results. But Cloud Campus was to do two things. One was to create more value for the customers, therefore more customers. And second was to reduce the cost to NIIT, which means lower cost to NIIT, which means higher margin. It has already started delivering higher margin on the areas that we had in the first step we should have got. But at this time, since the overall volumes are low, we are not yet getting the benefit of operating leverage. But even in this quarter's result, just to give you a distinction between quarter four and quarter one, quarter four and quarter one are at approximately the same revenue level, but the margin has actually improved between the two quarters for us. So that should kind of give you an indication. Having said that, let me add Raghu to this.
Okay, thank you, Dipen. Cloud campus is kind of a new way of learning. What we have done in the first tranche of features are six solid features that we call as cloud enablers for the students. Cloud Classroom, Cloud Courseware, Anywhere Lab, Lesson on Demand, Online Assessment, and BuddyNet Learning. These are absolutely unique features for the learner's effectiveness. Number one. Number two, 50 courses are already on the cloud campus. Programs which you are very familiar with, such as the JNIT, the postgraduate program in IT, the diploma programs across multiple areas, have all been moved to cloud campus. Out of the centers, 154 centers across the country have been cloud classroom enabled, and the students in those centers for these programs are already on the cloud campus methodology. Our plan is that as the number of courses, the number of centers keep increasing, greater and greater share of our total revenue will be accounted for by courses on cloud campus. Second is what Vijay alluded to. Already we are seeing some amounts of benefits accruing to us as a result of cloud campus. I think what the invisible part of the benefit which will accrue to us really in a solid term is the learner effectiveness, and therefore our ability to attract a wider cross-section of students who so far would not have liked to bind themselves to constraints that are there in the traditional method of learning or studying. We hope to be attracting that segment of students. And the second thing I would say is, Vijay talked about the importance of non-IT courses. As we go more and more into non-IT courses, it's very important for us to put some speed to market. And if we had gone by the traditional method of learning, our ability to expand to large number of centers, newer courses, would be very constrained by creating, training, making available, including backups of faculty across the country, across so many centers. Now, by cloud campus, we are able to reasonably, short-circuit that very elaborate and laborious process and be in a position to get on with new products soon. So these are the benefits. In summary, some benefits we've already started seeing. I think I would say the best is yet to come.
Okay. How many students are already taking classes under this?
33,000.
Okay. And the other thing is that on an overall ILS basis, on the ILS IT, when do you actually think that we should be actually reporting some positive growth, like any indications which you have or any forecast which you can make?
You mean in the non-IT?
No, the ILS IT, the non, excluding the non-IT.
Non-IT is doing well. What he's saying is non-IT is doing well.
Yeah.
But IT is bringing you down. When do you expect to see growth in IT?
Okay, IT, I would say that if you look at the last quarter, I don't want to read too much, but we are sort of encouraged by the response we have got for JNIT.
Mm-hmm.
We have grown in the JNIT series 9%, and this growth is coming on the back of 8 continuous quarters of decline year over year.
Sure.
What is fundamentally behind this? What is fundamentally behind this is, there has been in the recent 3-4 years a little bit of an irrational lure towards engineering degree at any quality anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the last 2 years, look at the record of vacancy of engineering seats in some of those colleges which are not necessarily offering quality engineering education, the students are beginning to feel just an engineering degree is no longer a panacea for all problems.
Mm-hmm.
So the students in the DQ colleges are now realizing, look, let me get on with skilling myself. Mm-hmm. Therefore, a little bit of increased inquiries as well as small growth that we witnessed in JNIT are early indications of the DQ students, what we call as dual qualification students who are studying DCOM, BSc, the traditional group which used to come to us in large numbers for JNIT, we feel that they are beginning to realize that they need to get themselves skilled even when they are in the colleges. We think this is an early indication of a good sign, but like I said, I don't want to read too much in it. It's the first quarter where we've had these good indications. This has to sustain in order for us to, make a very meaningful consistent trend out of this.
Okay, thank you. Second thing,
just to be comprehensive about the answer,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the traditional IT courses,
mm-hmm.
we are busy launching courses in what we call as new age IT.
Mm-hmm.
It consists of four important areas: social media, analytics, mobility, and cloud.
Mm-hmm.
These are important new dimensional areas where there is dearth of skills in the country, and we will be focusing and introducing more and more courses in that will help us. For example, last quarter we just launched a course on mobile apps development, for example. So like that, we will be introducing courses so that relevant technology courses are made available, so we are able to get students who are looking for these technologies.
Okay, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Vipin, thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anurag Goyal from Standard Chartered Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the detailed update on your numbers. Just had a couple of queries on the financials.
Yes.
For the Q1 last year, there was a negative other income of approximately 28 crores, and which I think included provisions for Element K and probable vendor claims. So my first question was, what happened to those provisions? Are they being reversed? Second is, when I compare that number with this quarter, so this quarter we don't have that negative provisioning of around 25-27 crores. Despite that, our EBITDA is lower than the last quarter. So why so? So these are the two questions I had.
Okay. I think, first of all, our EBITDA last year was 114. I'm answering second question first.
Okay.
Your last year, our EBITDA was 114 million, and this year it is 104 million. The other income of 265, 26.5 crores negative, which you saw in last year, was below EBITDA. It was in other income, and that was indeed because of certain vendor claims coming out of the divestment of Element K. This year, those claims obviously are not there. As far as those claims are concerned, they are being they are under an arbitration process. We believe we have a strong case. However, given the fact that we do not have, as per the accounting guidelines, as soon as the case goes into legal, we have to take full provision. So that's why we have taken full provision. Those cases will get settled. Normally, foreign cases don't take as long as Indian judicial system takes. So we do believe that during this year, we should see some results coming out of that. So okay. That's answering your question. I think if your question is why, in addition, why despite the fact that you did not have those strong, you did not have those claims and therefore no adverse entries, why do you still have a negative PAT? Then my answer.
Right. In fact, from the last year of 2 crores.
Because last year, coupled with that claim was also a benefit coming out of taxation, which we paid on Element K transactions.
Okay.
It was minus 365.
Right.
So if taxation was minus 365, which was, we had estimated a higher tax, but actually we had to pay lower tax. So that was a reversal of tax. This year, in our taxation claim, we have this additional 27 million, which I told you is because of the dividend distribution tax, which,
right.
So while it is mentioned here, in the dividend distribution tax, it will be zero.
Okay.
So that is...
Yes, just one more question, taking on from there.
Yes.
So basically what has happened is your provisioning and your tax benefit has got netted off approximately.
Yes.
But our net profit has still gone down from 2 crores to 22 crores now.
It would not go down from 2 crores to 22 crores. You are referring to the operational PAT.
Yeah, I am referring to the net profit number, which is on your website.
Yes. No, you are referring to my operational PAT number, right? Or you are referring to PAT after... So let's compare line items, right?
If we are
looking at EBITDA, it is 114 versus 104.
Right.
If you look at depreciation, it is again 203 versus 210, so no dramatic difference.
Right.
The first dramatic difference is in net other income.
Yeah.
Correct. The second dramatic difference is in taxation.
Yeah.
Correct. So if you are doing that same calculation, what you should do is 2341, from last year's net profit, which is minus 23, you should add 341, which will make it 365.
Okay.
Right? Because if you see at PBT level, our PBT seems to have improved by 50%.
Right.
Which also is a mirage, because these are all technical entries, so I didn't want to talk about that.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. So if you can see at PBT, we have improved by 50%, but that's actually not true. Because the difference is 19 crores, the difference is actually coming out of the additional provision we took last year because of vendor claims.
Right.
At an operational level, I would tend to feel we are at approximately the same, if not better level.
Okay. So any sort of stress on liquidity levels or that's fine?
I'm sorry, any liquidity?
Any stress on liquidity levels because of the ILS enrollments going down?
Because of ILS enrollments going down, a stress on liquidity levels, no.
Okay.
But in terms of stress on collections, because of lower collection from government receivables, the answer is yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amar Moria from India Nivesh Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, my first question is...
Can you just be a little louder?
Yeah, sir. Now I'm audible?
Yeah, very audible.
Yeah. Sir, first question is, we have a forex loss of 34 million, right? And what was the forex loss in Q1? Where Q1, it was gain, right? Forex gain, right?
Q4. This year Q4 was also, there was a restatement of, there was a mark to market of Forex, which was minus 21.
Minus 21. And Q1 last year?
Minus 40.
Okay. Okay. And sir, second question is, in terms of the receivables, if I see...
Yeah.
Despite the revenue going down, receivables are either increasing or staying constant. So is it, I mean, when we see actually, receivables coming down?
Yeah. So the receivables, actually, if you break them up in two parts, one part is what we are doing. If we take away the government schools receivables, the rest of the receivables have actually improved dramatically.
So what is the part of government receivables out of this?
My feeling is the total government-oriented receivables will be off the tune of 270-odd crores.
So I believe, sir, this 200 crores or 200-odd crores of receivables, which is almost, I believe, lying in our balance sheet from past... At least...
No. It's not the same receivable.
Right.
Even last quarter, we collected nearly 43 crores. It is, the issue is, these are ongoing contracts.
Okay.
But and everybody is paying. Funny thing is, everybody is paying. I talk about all state governments, but every state government paid last quarter.
Okay.
The problem is not that they are not paying or paying. They are paying very slowly. So there is always 2, 3, 4, 5 quarters of billing which is pending.
Okay. 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 So, sir,
last
like...
Last quarter, all of our state governments paid. All.
This quarter also. But gradually coming down.
Yeah. So, it is gradually coming down, but it will take a while.
So, sir, when we can expect, like, you know, receivables coming down to a... Meaning the part of government receivables coming down to a manageable level from where I can see working capital actually...
No, but right now working capital is getting released.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But in terms of like, you know, when we can see a significant return on capital because of this, I believe the return on capital is coming down significantly.
I fully agree with you. The issue is at this point of time, as you know, even the government is going through a huge liquidity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Much more of our effort is going into chasing these receivables than is necessary.
So I'm talking about pretty long term, sir. If I see from here, say 1 year after, what would be the receivable out of the government business?
Sufficient, the orders are closing, so we're billing
normally. Yeah. So the first thing is we are not going to add to this burden.
Correct.
So we are only reducing the burden as we go along. First answer. So, therefore, the rest of the business size and the rest of the cash coming from other operations will be one solution. As far as this itself is concerned, while it is coming down steadily, frankly, it is difficult to forecast when it will come down substantially. Could it have come down substantially last year? My answer is yes. Could it come down substantially this year? My answer is difficult. Why? Because the government is actually tight on liquidity themselves.
Okay.
My belief is that if the economy picks up and a few other positive indicators come and our current account deficit, they will allocate more money to schools. Now, at this time, we are hearing many states saying, we are not getting money from the center. Earlier, they were getting money from the center, but they were deploying it other categories. But now they are saying they are not receiving enough money from the center. So it's a tight game that we have to keep playing.
Okay. So are we making any provisions for this also?
No. Wherever we see there is a problem, we do make a provision. At this point of time, yeah, there is no such. We check every quarter it goes through a filter and a lens.
Okay. Okay. And secondly, sir, about the... ILS business,
yes.
24%, if I'm correct, 24% is the revenue coming from non-IT, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the margin this quarter for non-IT business?
I would not have that at this level because there are a number of common elements to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We would be able to talk about margin only at an overall level.
Okay, fair enough.
Because then that goes down to product and usage of center and, I mean, complex.
Correct. No issue, sir.
I would like to add that the 24% is for quarter one, FY14.
Mm-hmm.
The full year, FY13, was 17%.
Mm-hmm.
Like many other variables in the ILS business, you should expect seasonal variations in this percentage. But we will improve the trajectory in terms of the share of non-IT in the overall ILS business.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. So now I was just looking for the margins. Like, you know, I believe the non-IT business would have a higher margin than the IT business. Is it so or like...
Difficult
to
say.
I would like to say comparable.
Okay.
Little better maybe.
But more or less comparable to the...
I think it would be comparable. I'm just going by one or two big courses.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, in terms of the school learning solution...
Yeah.
I mean, if I see the EBITDA margin, it is pretty fluctuating. I mean, despite that the government business is coming down, but if I see the EBITDA margin, it is not like, you know, sometime it is 9%, then 7.5%, and then 4%. So I'm just expecting when we can actually reach to a predictable margin level where, you know, I can steady state confidently say that, you know, yes, if it's school learning solution, then it will make 7% or 8% margin. So something of, if you can add some color into that.
Much that I would like to do so. I mean, I hate it as well every time the margin drops.
Mm-hmm.
I normally don't question too much when the margin improves. But the important thing which you have to do is we are getting out of these projects, correct?
Correct, sir.
So we are in a transformation stage. We are coming out of projects. So there are closing down costs of a project. You have to book that. For example, I'm telling you, next quarter itself, there will be a closing down project, because the project which is closing down next quarter will be a large project.
Okay.
Right. So margin will be lower next quarter. So I am looking at this margin not at a quarter on quarter level, but at an aggregate level over the year. Mm-hmm. I think it is safe to believe at this time, if you can do your planning on the basis of an annual margin, which you will notice is not very off.
Okay. But then, in private school, in private school business, do we have the same fluctuating margin or where?
No. There it is positive margin.
Okay.
Increasing. So as that portion keeps going up, we would have.
So we are making margin around about 9-8% in that?
I would tend to say so.
Okay.
Actually, it is improving because of two things. Because our sales force, as it is becoming more and more productive, see, there the largest cost we are carrying is the cost of sales in the private school, because we are ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this, the largest cost we carry is the cost of execution.
Sorry.
Government business.
Okay. And sir, last question is, in the balance sheet, we are having some 86 crores of intangible asset. What is that?
Okay. Intangible assets is all the software assets we will have. For example, we would have SAP licenses, Microsoft licenses.
Okay.
Internally developed the whole cloud platform, mm-hmm. on which we are delivering cloud courseware. That is an intangible asset.
So, meaning if we are again ramping up in a big way into the cloud, and cloud campus increasing from 150 centers to 900 centers or 600 centers, so it is likely to go up again from here on?
No. The major investment in cloud, I have been saying that now for 2 or 3 quarters, got over. They are over. Now there will be marginal investments, not major. And the major investment phase of cloud is over.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Jaivan Tung from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. My question is for Mr. Vijay Thadani.
Yes, sir.
Recently, we have been seeing this phenomenon of MOOCs, the massive open online courses, which is picking up worldwide and also catching up in India also, sir.
Yes.
So, there are several courses like programming, algorithm, and data structures, which are being offered by premier institutes and also the corporates participating in that.
Yes.
So, sir, how does the coming of this movement impact NIIT in terms of ILS? And also, how does it impact the overall IT training market, sir? What is your perspective on this, sir?
Okay. Two aspects which I would like to say, though we have a big debate on within NIIT of how it will be. So I'll give you my view since you asked me the question.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a phenomenal opportunity.
Yeah.
Because amongst other things, it talks about moving the consumer preference to learning online in contrast to learning in a classroom.
Okay.
Today, learning online is not considered very serious. Now, in cloud campus, we are not learning pure online. We understand pure online learning is not as effective.
Yeah.
It is the hybrid model which is effective. MOOCs are not a replacement of the formal learning process. MOOCs are an aid to the formal learning process. So, in fact, you would soon start seeing in cloud campus, on our cloud campus itself, MOOCs being offered for the simple reason because any supplementary learning that you have to do, which is not covered by the formal learning process, you can create a MOOC and go on very, very quickly. The fact that Harvard, MIT, Stanford are supporting MOOC as a new way of learning is not because they want to believe, they believe that in future Harvard, MIT, Stanford will not be required for as an educational institution. It is because they, A, to their existing students and existing student base, offer those things which are not taught formally in a classroom, a new subject like big data, which is what you are referring to this morning's newspaper also.
Yeah.
And the second is for those who do not get the benefit of those professors, but those people are not going to stop going to colleges. That is an supplementary learning. So two issues with MOOC, which are positive. One, it reflects a change of habit, which we love, because that will create a larger traction for online learning.
Yeah.
The second is the impact, the fact that at this time it is more supplemental rather than mainline. And the third, as is true for many online models of learning, at this time there is no business model. We believe MOOC as a part of Cloud Campus is actually the first implementation of a business model around MOOC.
Okay. Okay, sir, but no, my concern is that we are still continuing to see pressure in the IT, in the ILS segment, IT
yes.
training in the ILS segment. So,
yes.
do you see any kind of impact of such movements on our particular segment of IT as well as even non-IT courses?
Yeah, so I want to say one thing. Number one, I do see an impact on very advanced courses. For example, if we were to launch a course in big data,
yes.
then I can argue two ways. One, that I would not get a few students
yes.
Whom I would have got otherwise.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I can argue that the MOOC will actually contribute to my marketing efforts
yes.
because they would try to learn online and would get curiosity, and then I would be able to do a more skills-oriented learning.
Okay.
Last thing which I want to say, which is in favor of MOOC and in favor of NIIT, is MOOC is transfer of knowledge, not transfer of skill.
Okay.
Right? So when you transfer a skill, you need something in addition to just understanding how a particular thing works.
Right.
Raghu, you want to say
something? Yeah, I just want to add that MOOCs represents content which is available in a form factor,
yeah.
in most cases free to the learners.
Mm-hmm.
But in a whole overall learning environment where students are coming to us,
yes.
they are coming to us not just for the content in the form factor in which it exists in MOOCs,
right.
but in a form factor which we have put pedagogy into in creating learning modules in bite-sized chunks that will help them learn.
Yeah.
But apart from content, there is a whole lot of learning services that are being provided in a center,
yeah.
the reason why students come to us. So without in any way belittling the significance of MOOCs, which has got its own great place, from our own training business model standpoint, we have to look at it as availability of content in a particular form factor.
Yeah.
That by itself is not equivalent to learning and education delivery. So that's one of the ways I look at it.
So it's an important change.
Right.
Completion rates are low, business models are not there, those are problems. But I think what we have to do is to use it as a part of our strategy, as a tailwind rather than as a headwind.
Right, sir.
We have to change our sales in the way that we use it as a tailwind to drive us faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's a catalyst for online learning.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Are there more questions?
Thank you. Yes, sir. We got another couple of questions.
Okay. So we'll take two more questions. Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anish Jabalia from Jite Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you.
So basically, I was just delving a little bit more into the value proposition that NIIT offers to the students. Looking at the competitive landscape and after doing some talking with some people, I figured out that there are a couple of other organizations like CDAC and IIJT, which are, you know, kind of offering a similar kind of education to the students and helping them to get placed into the industry. So CDAC is obviously, you know, a government organization, and IIJT is kind of having a partnership with TeamLease. So
yeah,
they are having a ready placement into their industry. So what I wanted to understand, sir, from you is how does NIIT provide a different value proposition to its students from, you know, the competitors? I mean, there are many others, but how are we different? Obviously, your step in cloud computing is a one step ahead of being the competition. But in terms of absorbing the skills, whatever is taught at the center, everything is not in your control, because some of them are franchises and some of them are your own centers. So how do you control that? I mean, that the student becomes happy with what he has learned out of the center and then, you know, getting placed into the institution. So what are the steps that you are taking also to improve the placement of the students during this bad kind of a scenario, or you know, going forward?
Yeah, okay. So first of all, thank you very much for actually doing so much research on NIIT. Let me just answer a few things, and then I'm sure you actually asked some 5 questions in one, but I'll try to answer that. First question is IIJT, which you, CDAC, frankly, is a government organization. It is narrowly focused on a few courses of a few kinds, is not very, very relevant as far as we are concerned. Neither have the reach nor the width.
Okay.
I'm not saying bad, they are good. That's okay. And they've been around for a long, long, long time. And very, very small and niche player. As far as IIJT is concerned, with whatever little I know, on one hand, you are right, they have owned by TeamLease, so to that extent, they have a benefit of being associated with the temp company. However, the students that we train do not want to be temps. They want to be permanent employees of software companies. So, we train, our placement division, by the way, places last quarter 8,028 people. Last year, we placed 39,800 people. I don't have comparative numbers of other temp and other companies, but definitely these numbers in terms of full-time employment would be larger than anybody else, any other placement company in the country. Now, IIJT also, by the way, is in the business of offering mostly accounting and CA related training. And in they have their own little niche. We do not compete too much in that niche. And is that attractive for us? We are going about it in our own small way. There is a competition analysis which is done every year by various journals. We have been improving our position against our competition steadily. In fact, given whatever is DataQuest's last published issue, we should be about 6 times our nearest competitor. So that's as far as competition is concerned. But that's in numbers. Our differentiation is our secret sauce, is that we start with the employers first. We don't start with the course first.
Okay.
We start with the employers and work our way backwards in figuring out the curriculum. We have employers who design our, who sit and determine what should be taught and how it should be taught. Then we have our core competencies in creating, you ask any NIIT student, one of the things they would uniformly vote us very, very high on is the quality of courseware that we produce. That's our core competency. Second is our education methodology, which is because Cloud Campus is one great example of that, because it's a superior method of delivery. We spend crores of rupees on research every year to figure out what are the new things which are happening in the learning space, and we remain ahead of the curve. We commit to our students that we would always train them in current technologies. Not all the time all courses are in current technologies, but our promise is that any time there is a newer technology, we would like to update them. Coming back now to the base question of how do we manage our large reach. Our large reach is managed by, one, a consistent education methodology such as Cloud Campus, and second, by a very tight control mechanism. In fact, our promise to our student is they should not be able to see the difference whether it is our own center or our franchise center. At the end of the day, we call everyone an NITN. All looks and feels of centers are the same. However, given human nature and given financial disclosures, people do come to know. But our endeavor many times is at all points of time to ensure that quality level, or for that matter, the value proposition level does not dilute. We have one of the most stable distribution channels in the country, amongst all sectors actually. And I think we have a very, very committed we have a very, very committed set of business partners who think alike. If there are specific instances of student dissatisfaction, let me be honest about it. It's not that everybody who comes is completely satisfied. Many times it's a mismatch of expectations. Sometimes it can be a loss of delivery standard. Sometimes it will be service standard. We do make mistakes, but one of our endeavors is if we make a mistake, we pay for it.
Okay.
So that's our simple business policy.
Okay, sir, and how much do you think is the need for reinvesting into course development every year to maintain, because you capitalize that, so how much do you have to spend every year on course development to maintain your
I would say give or take about 10 to 12 crores.
So 10 to 12 crores, so up till now you are spending like around 70-80 crores every year, so would that drop down to 10 to 12 crores? Or
we are not spending 70-80 crores on developing courses in ILS.
Okay.
That may be the cumulative effect of software as well as course development as well as software licenses. By the way, we use 100% legal software. So our software costs are higher compared to our competitors.
So including everything, how much would your capex be every year going ahead without taking into consideration any growth or anything like that, just to maintain?
So for example, this quarter our capex has been 5 crores. Last year, whole year our capex was minus the project expenditure. Yeah. So typically, different businesses have different capex levels.
Okay.
I think your questions are relating to ILS.
Correct.
Our capex is south of 20 crores, I would say, every year.
Okay.
Normal capex is 5 to 6 crores. You have to keep replacing desktops, keep updating licenses.
Correct. So normalized, like in a good year, in 2010, 11 and 12, you did in ILS around 100 crores of EBITDA. So my point is that now going ahead, if you are not able to reach to that level, so would you be looking at closing down some of your own centers so as to cut down on your cost and improve your profitability?
Using our capacity efficiently is also a continuous process. Any retail business has to keep a very close watch on capacity.
Right.
So we do combine centers, move centers. For example, if everything was static, then our centers would keep continuing. Metro comes, and in front of your center, you have a huge flyover. You have to move your center. You have to combine it with others. So we do change all this.
One MI.
Yeah. The other is we are also making sure that our centers not only have ILS, IT, not just the IT courses, but also the non-IT courses. So one NIT is also a method by which we are doing. But you are absolutely right. At this point of time, our capacity utilization is very, very low.
Right.
It is at 42% this quarter. I must say it has improved by 400 basis points over last quarter. But our capacity at which we used to work is 65%.
Right.
So we have two choices. Right now, reduce the center and bring the capacity to 65%, then we would not have provided for growth.
Sir,
and
so that is the same question, sir. My question is that if you close down the centers and reach 65% capacity utilization, would your EBITDA actually reach back to 100 crores because it's more of like right now EBITDA is reducing because of the increase in the cost more than the increase in the revenues. So like if I want to understand this business more better, just by cutting down the cost, can you actually, what is the kind of EBITDA you can
No. One moment. By cutting down capacity, your question is by cutting down capacity, can you improve EBITDA?
Yeah, so the fixed cost related to that. All those
capacity will obviously not recover EBITDA completely.
Okay.
Why? Because there is a fixed cost overhead which sits irrespective of the size of capacity.
So out of this entire, say, for example, if I take 2012, you had around 458 crores of the ILS revenues, and maybe if I so 12 crores, so 440 crores of around cost related to your ILS segment. So how much can you actually control out of that by at this existing capacity, and also how much amount of that 440 crores was actually related to the franchisees?
No. So first of all, as far as the franchising is concerned,
uh-huh.
You will have a cost of operation.
Right.
In terms of supporting the franchisee. There we don't bear the capex. Correct?
Right.
We don't bear the capex.
Right.
We do not bear the, but we give him a margin for that. Right?
Even the fixed cost and everything you don't have to bear, right?
Yeah. So, actually what we can do is, if you are so keen to understand this, best is why don't we set up a time and explain to you.
So is it possible?
Okay. We have a very good model. We explain it to future business partners, so we can explain it to you also.
If possible, sir, I would like to meet some. Or actually, you only, if possible, so to understand. So if I can get the chance to do that.
Very good. I am honored that you would like to meet me. But let's do one thing. Since I travel a lot, at least Kapil can organize.
Yeah, I have already talked a lot to Kapil, so.
But he's not able to.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So, then our time lag will be a little longer. Have you talked to Mr. Raghavan?
Yeah, that's fine, sir.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay,
so
thank you, sir, for clarifying and giving
Not me at all. And we'll be, look, our performance being whatever it is, that's fine. But on our numbers, we would be absolutely transparent with you. Not very important.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Participants, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining. I want to thank you because I know it's a busy result season. I do want to say that it's been a challenging environment. It is still continuing to be a challenging environment. The transformation initiatives we have taken have begun to burn results. But we are also hoping that economy will soon add to that, and then we should be able to see good times again. Thank you very much for being here with us. We learn a lot from your questions. I look forward to some of the meetings some of you sought, and look forward to speaking to you or meeting you as soon as possible. All the best.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.